Okay, we're going to start meeting. This is chapter five, how it works, and we're going to start talking about step three. The last 2 weeks, we've gone through step one and step two quite thorough. And the idea is, on this workshop, we highlight the book, we highlight certain parts in the book, and we'll explain it as we go, so we understand a full understanding of what step three is about, how we apply it, what it means into our life, what's our will and what's God's will, and how do we recognize what's what. The importance of learning what we've got. So the first two steps that we spoke about 2 weeks ago were the problem in step one, the mind and body. We know we suffer with an obsession that's going to justify the drink, an insanity that blocks out the consequences. So if it's blocked out the consequences and we don't see the problems, we're going to keep drinking based on the lie or the illusion, delusion, as the book explains it. That's coupled with an allergic reaction, an abnormal reaction when I take one drink, I ultimately crave another. So the trick is that we can't treat the allergy. The allergy is untreatable. Once you form the habit, you're always going to get drunk every time you take a drink. We cannot change that for love nor money, okay? And even the books is quite clear. It doesn't matter if we're 30 years sober. We will never be immune from alcohol. But the main problem center is our mind. So the trick is we go through the program. We understand the problem we've got in our mind. And we understand that we haven't got the power. We need to find a power to solve the problem we couldn't. And the problem that we couldn't solve was we keep drinking. We keep drinking, and there's problems and consequences. And the unmanageability in step one is I keep repeating the same experiment. I keep trying the same drink, and I keep getting the same bloody results. And there's always carnage and chaos. And if you want to go to page, and I say this every week, it's page 24. Page 24 is the go-to page for everybody in AA. It's the most important page in a book. Highlight from the very top to the very bottom of page 24, okay? If there's new people to the group and new people to the meeting, we have a WhatsApp group. You can either put your number in the chat. We'll get your number and we're going to add you to the WhatsApp group. And then we have recordings for every single meeting that we do. So you can all play catch up and understand what we've got. Okay, then we get to step two. And step two is the solution. There's a solution to the problem we can't solve. And when we talk about the powerless condition, I can't stop on my power. My power cannot solve my alcoholism, so I'll keep drinking as a result of it. So I need to find a power greater than myself, be it God or whatever the power may be, to solve the problem that I cannot solve, okay? Step two, realistically, is all about willing to believe. When someone comes and lays that spiritual talk it out and shows you there's a solution to the problem, which Frank done for me, there's an answer, there's a solution. And I start with belief and I see it work with others and I have a bit of faith because they've gone down the same path and they've solved the problem they couldn't solve. So I apply that to my life. So when I get to step two on page 47, it gives us the question, are you willing to believe or do you now believe? And I highlighted that page because that's the go-to page on step two. The step two question, because step two is all the pages we got highlighted are all about giving us examples of why we should believe and what happens when we don't believe. If I don't believe in a power and I cannot solve the problem, I'm going to drink, and for us to drink is to die. So then that takes us up to step three, and we're going to start on page 58. We're going to highlight all of 58. So what I tend to do is you can either mark it round with a biro or mark it round with a pencil to this. I've done the whole page and I've done the top of 59 to complete abandon. So it's all of 58, the top of 59 down to complete abandon, which is about six lines. And I'm going to explain what it means. Because in these two pages, it gives us promises or warnings of what we do if we don't do the work. On 58, it says, rarely have we seen a person foul who has thoroughly followed our path with the willingness and the desperation of drowning men. We have a program that they're going to lay out as a spiritual toolkit. And if you apply this spiritual toolkit in your life, you will recover. And the reason I say I'm recovered is because I've now found the power that I lacked. Because lack of power in step two was my dilemma. I couldn't stop drinking on my own power. So I had to find a power that I could live by. And by recovering, it's finding the power that I lack. It says those who do not recover are people who cannot and will not completely give themselves to this simple program. AA is full of people that cannot and will not. I can't do that and I won't do this. And I don't want to do that. I don't really believe in God. I'm not willing. And there's all the excuses and the alibis. AA is full of them, full of them. I was one of them. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. your little sobriety coins that you'll collect, when you flip them over on the flip side of it, it says, to thine own self be true. Honesty starts within. Your recovery starts from the fireside out. I need to make sure that it's right at home, it's right inside of me, and I'm willing to do the work, and I'm willing to go to any length. They're such unfortunates. They're not at fault. They seem to be born that way. They're naturally incapable, and underline that, they're incapable of honesty. They're incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living, which is the program, which demands rigorous, and underline this, rigorous honesty. You can't bullshit your way through. You can't take half measures. You cannot do half of the stuff. This page is about a warning, right? It says their chances are less than average. They are rose to the suffer from grave emotional mental disorders. We've all got a bit of anxiety, a bit of fear, a bit of depression, but you can too recover. It tells us, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest, because we don't like honesty. We're for liars to the core. But if you're going to change and you're going to grow and you want to recover, you need to get real. So our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like before the spiritual awakening, what happened and what we are like now recovered. That's our story that we tell in the meetings. I don't do a drink a log of what life's like. I let that spiritual toolkit, and I give hope to the newcomer. If you have decided you want what we have and you are, and underline this, willing to go to any length. When I sponsor people, I'm going to lay down the conditions. You call me every day. We're going to go through the steps in 6 weeks. That's how quick we go through it. It's not going to be a 6-month affair, let me tell you that. If you want to sponsor, it's going to be a 6-month affair. I'm the wrong person. The book is very clear on the time process that we take to go through this. If you're suffering with a mental illness that's going to condemn you to take a drink, why would you wait 6 months? Why would you punish yourself for 6 more months until you recover and find the power? Wouldn't. That's insanity. When you go to any length, then you are ready to take certain steps. But some of these we bought. We skipped them. I don't really want to do a step 4. I don't think I need to make all amends. And I quite like some of these defects of character. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, and underline this, but we could not. The book is written 83 years ago. It's the experience of the first 100. They tried every avenue not to do it. They tried every escape route, and they couldn't do it. And they failed utterly. So they put it in print. We tried what you're thinking. We tried to balk and skip. Didn't work for them. With all the earnest at our command, I underline this, we beg of you. We're going to beg you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Please join us. Please give it your heart and soul. The effort that you put in as a sponsor, I'll put in, right? We beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us tried to hold on to old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go. Absolutely. That's their experience. The warnings are there. If you think you can do half a job, it won't work. It won't wash. It's like washing your clothes in a washing machine. They're not putting no washing powder in. They're still going to smell. They're not going to be clean, are they? Right? Top of 59. Oh, sorry, bottom 58. Remember, we deal with alcohol. Cunning, baffling, powerful. Step 1. I don't know why I keep doing it, but I keep doing it. I don't know why I keep getting drunk, but I keep getting drunk. It says, without help, it's too much for us, which means we're going to die. But there is one that has all power, and that one is God. May you find him now. The last pit, it says, half measures availed us nothing. It's your last warning, right? We stood at the turning point, which is we're going to get to the decision in 3. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. In AA, we don't talk about surrender. You will not find surrender in that book. We abandoned the God idea when we were younger, and now we're going to completely abandon ourselves to God. If I surrender, I'm going to give in. If I'm going to abandon myself, I'm going to give myself to a power greater than myself that's going to solve my problem. We're going to flick over to page 60. And I'm going to go through the pages, then we're going to discuss some step 3. And we're going to highlight from halfway down our description of the alcoholic all the way down that page and all of 61. Okay. It says our description of the alcoholic, which was Bill's story, more about alcoholism, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after, before the spiritual awakening and after the spiritual awakening, make clear three pertinent ideas. These are important, three pertinent ideas. A, which is step one, that we're alcoholic and we could not manage our own lives. And I couldn't. I was a powerless alcoholic and my life was totally unmanageable. I couldn't stop for love and money. I couldn't stop for the wife and the kids and job. I couldn't stop, right? B, step two, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. My self-will, my power could not stop me. I smashed that home in step one. And step two, I understood I didn't have the power inside of me to stop. And then C, which is two again, that God could and would, and underline this, if he was sought. And the word if is a little get out clause. If you want to do half measures, and if you want to balk, and if you want to skip some stuff, the word if is in the big book plenty of times to give you a little get out clause. Well, I didn't quite understand. If he was sought. The program is in the seeking. Seek and you will find. It then says, and underline is being convinced. We're now at step three, being convinced of what exactly? Being convinced that I have a problem that I can't solve in step one that's going to condemn me to drink, and to drink is to die. Step two, there's a solution. I'm not it. I need to seek the power that I can't hold in myself. And I need to find the power. So I'm convinced I'm an alcoholic. I'm convinced I'm going to die. I'm convinced I'm powerless. I'm convinced my life is unmanageable because I've gone through steps one and two, and I've read the book up until this point. I understand the condition I got, I cannot solve for love and money. I've tried. It then says, which is we decided to turn our will and life over to God as we understood him. Our will and our life. Our will is our thoughts, and our life is our actions, because every action is born in thought. I have to look before I leap. Before I make a decision, I look at the consequences and I take that leap of faith. Not so with alcoholism, because I can't see the consequences. So when I take that leap of faith, I always get drunk. Turn my will and life over to the care of God as we understood it. Just what do we mean by that? And what do we do with a question mark? It's asked me, how am I going to hand my life over? Why am I going to do that? It then says the first requirement, underlined it, because we're now going to get into some decisions in step three, some action in step three. The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will could hardly be a success. And I'm going to read two pages of what my life is like on my self-will. Now, on the top of page 61, I want you to write just he, H-E. I want you to circle every word with he, his, himself, all the way down 61. Because this is about when I run the show. This is about me being in charge. So 61 is all about he. I'm going to read it out. It says, on that basis, on the bottom of 60 page, on page 60, on that basis, we are almost in collision with something or somebody. That's me. Even though our motives are good, most people like to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like the actor that wants to run the whole show. That's me. I'm the actor of life. I want to be in charge. I'm not the director. I'm not the boss. I'm the actor that's going to boss the light man around. I'm going to boss everywhere else. You do this and you say that because I want to be in control. I'm going to blame the world and I'm in charge and I'm the boss, but I'm only the actor in the play, right? It's forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in Keith's own way, because that's what Keith does. When Keith runs his wife on life on self-will, this is what I do. He says, if Keith's arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as Keith wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor, and underline that, because it's not the director, I'm not in charge, may be sometimes quite virtuous. Keith may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, Keith may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. That's my life. Let's put somebody else's name into this. But remember, with us humans, Tommy is more likely to have varied traits. What usually happens? show doesn't come off too well. Tommy begins to think like doesn't treat him right. Tommy decides to exert himself more. Tommy becomes on the next occasion still more demanding or gracious, as the case may be, because this cat fits all of us. Still, the play does not suit him. Admitting Jane may be somewhat at fault, she is sure other people more to blame. It's never my fault. You caused it, never me. Jane becomes angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is her basic trouble? Is Carl not really the self-seeker, even when trying to be kind? Is Carl not the victim of the delusion? The delusion's a lie. That he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if only Carl manages well. When I wrest satisfaction, rest is spelled with a W. I want to wrestle the situation. I want to make it work. I'm demanding and gracious. You just do as I tell you to do it. If it goes wrong, I'm going to blame Carl. I'm going to blame Jane. Is it not evident to the rest of the players that all these things are what he wants? And do not his actions make each of them wish to retaliate, snatching all they can out of the show? Is Carl not even in his best moment a producer of confusion rather than harmony? Because life's never simple when we're running the show. It's never plain sailing because I'm always in conflict with people because you're never doing what I want you to do. This is my will. Our actor, Keith, is self-centered, egocentric, as people like to call it nowadays. That's me. That's me on self-will. I'm going to flick the page to page 62. And we're going to highlight down on 62 from the third line at the very end. It says, whatever our protestations, all the way down to the bottom. And then all of 63. You can just mark it up for now and then we'll highlight it as we go. So it's from the page 62, whatever our protestations, all the way down the page, and then all of 63. And on top of 62, I want you to write self. I want you to circle self on that page. Because now we're going to get to the problem of self, my selfish self-centeredness, all about me. The last page was about me controlling everybody.
Sorry, what did you say, Keith? Self what?
We're going to talk about, just write self on the top of page 62, on the top of the page, just write self.
All right, yeah, thank you.
And then circle self all the way down. It's probably three quarters of the way down. It says, whatever our protestation, problems or defects, are not most of us concerned with ourselves, is the first one, our resentments and our self-pity. And it is again. Selfish, self-centered, that we think is the root of our troubles because I want to run the show. It's all about Keith. What about me, me, me? This is giving me examples of what it's like when I'm in charge. That, we think, is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. Keith's on the old pity pot because it didn't go very well, and I'm going to blame Carl, and I'm going to buy H. It's all their fault, never my fault. We step on the toes of our fellows, and they retaliate. When I'm trying to boss someone around and they don't like it, they tell me where to get off. I don't like that. I'm the director. You do as I tell you to do. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation. They tell me to piss off. It hurts me. Cuts me because they're not doing as I tell them to do. If only you would listen, right? But we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, how I see things, which have later placed us in a position to be hurt. Because it goes wrong. And then it's Jamie's fault. And then it's Tommy's fault and Lucy's fault. It's everyone's fault but Keith, right? And underline this, so our trouble, we think, are basically of our own making. I caused it. But I can't see it. Because I'm still the actor that wants to run the show. I can't see the problems. They arise out of ourselves. And the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics, and underline this, must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. And there's a warning there. If I don't change, if I don't find the power, I'm going to be in conflict with people. I'm going to pick a drink up, and to drink is to die. It then gives me hope. It says, God makes that possible. And there's a solution. God makes that possible. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his hate. Many of us have had moral, philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them. I put myself on a pedestal, basically. Even though we would have liked to, neither could have we reduced our self-centeredness. Our self-centeredness is all about me. What I'm going to say, I'm going to prove to everyone I'm powerful, how good I am, my self-centeredness. Much by wishing or trying on our own power. And I underlined this, we had to have God's help because I can't bloody solve it. I'm always in conflict. On the top of page 63, I want you to write the word we. Okay. So the last two pages about he and self. When I run the show, when I'm in charge, I'm in conflict with people. I'm blaming the world, running on my will. On top of 63, it talks about having the power in our lives. Now we've got something together. We're a part of something, being the word we. On the bottom of 62, it says, this is the how and why of it. And underline this because this is direction. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. And the last two pages have told you exactly what life's like in self-will when Jane runs the show, when Jane's in conflict with people, when Jane's the actress that wants to run the whole show, arranging the lights. She's angry, indignant, selfish, dishonest, self-centered. That's self-will. So it tells me we had to quit playing God because otherwise I'm going to stay like that. It doesn't work. So next, we decided in the hereafter of the drama of life. Let me tell you, I'm a proper drama queen. Always a drama on Keith's watch. In Keith's world, on Keith's will, always a drama. I'm never content. I'm never fulfilled. I've never got the whole in the soul complete. Always a drama queen or king, whatever you want it. Well, queen, I'm happy with that. Right? Queen. And I highlighted this. He said God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. We're his children. It's given to give me some hope now. You notice the word we is in that? Most good ideas are simple, but this concept was the keystone. A keystone is what holds a structure together in the building. A keystone is the center point of a building that's going to keep it all together. Keystone of the new and triumphant arch for which we pass the freedom. This next paragraph is about the step three promises. So we've written re on the top of the page, we, and you can write step three promises. He says that when we sincerely took such a position, when I stopped running the show and I put God as my director or higher power, whatever you choose, he said all sorts of remarkable things happened. You want to circle the word we. He said we had a new employer. Being all powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. What's God's work? Because we know when I run my war, my work, I'm in conflict with people. Since I found God and found the power, I'm not in conflict with people. Well, I need a wife. I'm not in conflict with people. And performing God's will and God's work is helping other people, carrying a message of Alcoholics Anonymous, helping the old lady across the street, talking to people, be kind, considerate, patient, and tolerant to other people. That's God's will. That's the Christian values of life that we had as children. But growing up, we practice our principles will become selfish, dishonest, self-centered, self-seeking. Liars, cheats, steal, we feed. We were the rock. Well, me, I was. Established on such a footing, now I've got God in my life. We became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more became interested in seeing what we contribute to life. Before I move on, see where it says ourselves, our little plans and designs. If you look at the page opposite on 62, it talks about the problem of self. Selfish and self-centered, that we think is the root of our troubles. Self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity. And directly on the next page, it tells us in God's will, we lose that. We become less and less interested in our little plans and designs. On the same side, on the same height on each page, directly opposite, one's my will, selfish, self-centered. The other one's in God's world, right? and our little plans and desires. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flowing, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, we became conscious of his presence. We began to lose our fear of the today, the tomorrow, the hereafter. We were reborn. When I stopped playing God, when I stopped trying to run the show, things got easier because I wasn't in conflict. I'm not interested in what you do and what you think and what you see. I just need to know I need to be doing the right things and carrying the message and working with other people, being on time, getting up and helping other people, being presentable, not swearing in Zoom meetings to give you the build insights. I need to be more respectful for other people. I always say to people, you know, I went through a phase a long time ago, and I was about 10 years sober. And I was asking for people to wash up at the meeting. And I sat in the meeting and I was asking for washer up. I thought, I don't do that. It's for the newcomer. I left this meeting and I got back and I thought to myself, driving back, what gives me the right to think I'm better than anybody else? Because I'm just one more day sober than I was yesterday. We're all equal. We're all on the same footing. Whether you're one day sober or 100 years sober, it's irrelevant. For the next month, I put my hand up at every meeting and washed every cup in Hampshire that I could to give myself some humility. Because I'm no better than anybody else. I might know the book a bit more, but we're all on the same path. We're all trudging the same journey. The importance of what we do is how we work together, how we carry the message. Step three in my life, when I made that decision to hand it over to God, my early days, I believed in a power greater than myself. God wasn't my thing, if I'm really truthful. I'm not a religious person, but that wasn't my thing. Some people are fantastic. So I prayed to a power greater than myself. I locked myself in the bathroom and I got on my knees and I prayed. I was embarrassed to do it. I didn't want to do it, but I didn't want to die drunk. I didn't want to be selfish, self-centered. I didn't want to be the actor that runs the show in conflict with people. I needed to recover from a condition I couldn't control. I couldn't manage. When I finally got on my knees and I asked for help, I abandoned myself to God. I said the step three prayer every morning. Within a week, something shifted. And I don't know why, and I don't know what, but there was an internal shift, a change in myself. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't see it. I couldn't touch it. I just felt it. I felt a bit of ease and comfort. The drink problem went away. The obsession had gone. Now I'm starting to live life. Now I'm starting to feel better, sound better. Prayers become part of my working life. If I don't do my prayers every morning, sometimes I'll do them in the car if I forget. We're not perfect. It's about spiritual progress. Sometimes we forget. The tools to recovery is we need to pray. We need to talk to another alcoholic. When you're committed and you're willing to go to any length to get it, let me tell you, within 6 weeks, you're sponsoring with me. You're out there sponsoring. I will take you by the hand. I will lead you for the program. I'll help you sponsor your first sponsee because you won't kill them. You're just going to save their lives. And what saves their lives is what saved my life. Bill Wilson said on page 14 and top of 15, if an alcoholic failed to enlarge his spiritual life, we'll work self-sacrifice with others. We cannot survive the low spots in life. I need to keep spiritually fit. In a few more weeks' time, when we get through to steps to 9, 10, 11, and 12, it'll all come apparent. Today is the beginning of seeking the power you lack, understanding why we take step three, the importance of finding the power. The keystones, what holds it together. If you're atheist, you can pick the big book. You can pick a meat. You can choose whatever power you want to choose. It's all about the willingness to try it, the willingness to believe. Do you really want it? This is a live and die situation. We're going to finish. I'm going to read one more bit, then we're going to read the step three bit, right? And so on page 63, the last paragraph, the bottom paragraph, it says, we found it very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person, which is our sponsor, an AA friend, a group, such as our wife, best friend, or spiritual advisor. But it's better not to meet God alone, the one who might misunderstand. The wording was, of course, quite optional. As long as we express the idea, voicing it without reservation, doesn't matter what prayer you pick. You can pick the Lord's Prayer. You can pick any bread, a serenity bread. It's about the approach. It's about the invitation to God to bring God into our lives. This was only a beginning. Though if honestly and humbly made, an effect, sometimes very great one, was felt, and underline this, at once. Because we're not alone. The bottom of 63, that was. We're not alone. Come to AA and join us on the Broad Highway. Get involved in what you need to do. The fellowship of the Spirit are the people in AA. The spirit of the fellowship is God. Okay. We're going to finish with a step three prayer. So if you all unmute yourselves, we're going to take the step three prayer together. It's on the middle of page 63. I'm just going to read the first couple of lines out, and please join me when I get to God. It says, many of us said we were now at step three. So hopefully by now you've understood the importance of what we do, the examples given of what life is like on self-will, and what it could be like in the world of the Spirit with God in us, that we're not alone. We are together. We're now at step three. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, that please join me, God.
I offer myself to thee.
Build with me,
and stir me in thy will.
Free me of the bondage of thy will.
And let me bend thy will away.
Find away my difficulties. Of their major.
I love thy way of life. May I do thy way.
Thank you. That sounded awful. That's what we do, right? That's the step three prayer. We took our step three, understanding what you've got, understanding there's a solution. Try it on your own, you're going to fail. What we've read today, the examples of why we take step three, the importance of step three, how we apply in our lives, how we work step three is the first requirement is we stop running the show. The how and why of it. First, we quit playing God. It didn't work. And then we get down. We understand about we have a new employer. Being all powerful, God will give you what you need to solve the drink problem. It doesn't exist for us later on in life. It will go. The last bit is said on step three. He said, we thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready. We fully understood that we could at last, and I underlined this on the middle of page 63, at last we abandon ourselves utterly to him. Not just under a separate breath, not partly, utterly. Okay. I'm going to pause the recording and then we can, if I can find it. I ain't got it here.